I've had these several words stirring in my heart for a bit, several weeks, faith and obedience and trust and worship. And don't be thinking, oh, she's going to talk to us about all that today. No, but I do want to talk to you this morning about faith and obedience. And we'll see where we go with the other words. The Bible tells us in Habakkuk 2, verse 4, in Romans 1, 17, in Galatians 3, 11, in Hebrews 10, 38, they all say, the just shall live by faith. Who are the just? Who are the just? The ones who've been made right with the Lord. That's us. The ones of us who are born again, we've been made right with the Lord, and we are called the just. He said, the just shall live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Hebrews 11, 6 says, it's not possible to please God without faith. We are called as believers to live by faith in God, to live by faith. Faith is confident trust, okay? Like, I have faith that when I flip that switch, the light's going to come on. I have faith when I sit in the chair, it's going to hold me up. Some chairs I don't have faith in to hold me up, but I have faith in these chairs to hold me up. When we're talking about faith, we're talking about our confident trust in the Lord, in His Word, in the integrity of His Word, in the integrity of who He is. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if I'm not positioning myself to be able to be hearing the Word of God, then I may have struggle with faith. Is that right? I mean, could you determine that from that scripture? Faith begins where the will of God is known. At times we've probably all done this. Lord, if you, or Lord, if it's your will. We've probably all said that at times. But really, there's no real faith attached to that. Not really. It's just kind of a wish and like, if it's your will. I had the Lord speak to me one time years ago, and I was saying something like that. And He spoke so clearly to me, I'll never forget it as long as I live. He said, why don't you find out what my will is, and then pray in faith? Well, how do I find it if it's not in the Word? I need to be seeking Him, right? That's where I begin to pursue Him. What's your will in this situation? I know what your will is according to certain things because it's written in the Word of God. So I know what your will is on those things. But if it's like, what house do I buy? You know, who do I marry? What do I do in this situation or that situation? You need to be seeking the Lord so that you can know and have peace about what it is He's wanting. And then you can actually begin to pray in faith. The Bible says in 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15, this is the confidence we have in Him. How many of you want confidence? This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if I pray anything according to His will, I know He hears me. And if I know that He hears me, then I know that I have the petitions I've asked of Him. What gives me confidence when I pray is knowing that I'm praying the will of God. That's why I can be confident when I know I'm praying His will. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. The Amplified says, the title deed of things not yet seen. Faith brings substance to what I'm believing for. I mean, if I've already got it, I don't need faith, right? If I already see it, I don't need faith, right? So faith brings substance, or it brings seeing to what is unseen. Does that make sense? To what it is I'm not seeing yet, when I put my faith out there, faith brings substance to that. obedience is connected to my faith, to my confidence in His Word, to my confidence in what He says to me, my confidence in who He is. So because of my confidence in the integrity of who He is, my confidence in His Word, because of that, I can step out by faith and obey what He says. Because I have confidence in Him. Whatever He says to me in this Word, or whatever He says to my heart, whatever assignment He gives me, I can step out by faith to do it in and obey, because I have confidence in Him. One of the surest ways for me not to step out and obey His Word, or a prompting, or the leading of the Holy Spirit, is to begin to reason. That's the surest way for me not to do it, is when I begin to reason, when I begin to look at things from a logical or reasonable perspective, when I begin to look at it for what makes sense to my mind. Are y'all following me? Did you know it's not logical to give when you're in need? Seriously, think about it. It isn't logical. It don't make sense to give when you're in need. Yet He says to. It doesn't make sense to forgive somebody who's done you wrong and release them from that wrongdoing. And not only forgive them, but bless them. Pray for them. Do good to them. That doesn't calculate in my human reasoning. Does it you? Yet His Word is very clear on it. It's the way of the kingdom. It's what His Word tells me. So I obey. Why? Because I trust Him. I obey because I trust the integrity of His Word. I obey because I trust the integrity of who He is. And I trust that He loves me. And anything He's asking or requiring of me or telling me to do, whether it's His Word or something He's speaking to me about my life, I can trust it's for my good. I can trust He's looking out for me. Now, there's another part of this with the obedience that I want to throw out there. And that is, when I'm quick to obey, like without hesitation, without delay, that when I'm quick to obey, there is this powerful grace, this empowering of the Lord to help me fully obey. Like if I step out to obey, it's like this powerful grace helps me to go on with it and fully obey. Are y'all following me? There have been times that I've been quick to obey. There's also been times I've been hesitant. I've delayed in my obedience. Have y'all done the same? And I can tell you there was not the same grace when I hesitated as there was when I was quick. It wasn't the same power. It wasn't the same results, I don't believe. My hesitation might have been because of fear. It could have been because I'm wondering what's going to cost me. It could be because I get my reasoning or my logic involved in it. The hesitation, the delay, reduces the power of God that would be available to me. It reduces it. It reduces the fruitfulness of what would happen had I been quick with my obedience. It reduces the results and the power that I would have. And I've done both. And I can tell you the results are different. They're different. It's like when I try to bring God's will into my human reasoning, like you could do that. I mean, stop and think about that. I'm going to bring God's will into my human reasoning. Really. Think about that. But we've all probably tried that at some time or another, right? Maybe it wasn't just me. Okay, turn with me. Let's look at a couple of examples here. Turn with me to Genesis 22. Oh, Jesus, help me. I don't want to miss anything that you've spoken to me about this. Genesis 22, verse 1. came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, he said, here I am. He said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I'll tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. He split the wood for the offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. It was about a 3-day journey. And on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And it says here in verse 5, Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we'll come back to you. That's the first mention you see in the word of the word worship. And here it is in context with obedience. I think it's really powerful, the quick obedience that Abraham gave the Lord. God spoke to him and he arose early the next morning and set out to do it. Took everything with him to actually follow through. Everything that was going to be needed to follow through and obey the Lord. You know, some might would think, well, that don't make no sense. God just gave me that son. Why would he have me offer him up? Are y'all hearing me? I mean, it doesn't make sense. Why would he have me put him on an altar? Yet he was very quick to obey the Lord. And I believe that in his stepping out to obey the Lord, like that first step of obedience could have been with knees knocking, might have been with tears coming down his face. I don't know. I wasn't there. But I believe with that first step of obedience to obey, the Lord began to give him the power and strength to fully go. And I believe that the further he went, the further in his mind it was settled. God gave me this son when it was impossible for me to have a son. I'm in covenant with this God. I trust him. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know how it'll happen, but he'll make a way. And I really do believe that as he stepped out initially to obey, that the Lord gave him the strength and power. You know it had to take power to do that. And I believe the Lord gave him strength and power to follow through with full obedience to obey. Look at verse 10. Abraham stretched out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I. He said, do not lay your hand on the lad nor do anything to him. Now I know you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. God made provision. But see, he already said, me and the boy, we're going to go yonder and worship, and then we'll come back. The New Testament says he already had a vision of God's provision for him regarding this scripture. Look at verse 16. Go back to 15. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing, you've not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing, I'll bless you. And multiplying, I'll multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. He heard and he obeyed. And he obeyed quickly. He obeyed quickly. And there was power. And there was good results, right? That was a good result. Now turn over to Numbers 13. These are not stories you don't know, but we're looking at them from this perspective. Yeah, okay. Numbers 13, verse 1, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one, a leader among them. So pay attention now. From every tribe, the 12 tribes of Israel, choose a leader. We're talking a leader from each group, not just anybody. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. They're about to step into the land that God had promised Abraham and his descendants. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're about to go into the land that was promised to them, and still is, by the way, the land of promise. So they came back. And showed the fruit of the land. And it says there was a cluster of grapes that they put on a pole, and it took two men to carry a cluster of grapes. And they brought that back, as well as other fruit and so forth. Man, that's some fruit right there. Verse 27, the one prior to that says they'd show them the fruit of the land. Verse 27 says, then they told him and said, we went to the land which you sent us, he's telling Moses, it truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Let me see how far to go. Bear with me just a minute. Verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. There's your quick obedience. Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Let us go up at once. Quick obedience. And the quick obedience would have brought power to do it. Okay? But the men who went up with him said, we're not able to go up against these people. They are stronger than we are. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they'd spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people who we saw are men of great stature. We saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, coming from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in theirs. This is how I feel about me, and that's because of that, I'm sure they feel that way about me too. It was reasonable not to go. Do you hear me? It was reasonable. It made sense not to go into this land that had giants. A land that that devours its inhabitants. A land with all these fortified cities. It made sense not to go. It did not make sense to go. In fact, it was wise not to go. Do you hear that? Out of over 2 million Jews, tribes, a leader from each tribe, 12 leaders, went to spy it out. Two say, let's go up at once, we're well able. 10 say, we can't because. And what they said was the reasonable thing as far as Israel was concerned. That was the thing that made sense to them. Notice how many people are prone to go with logic. I mean, like right now, think about it. How many people are prone to go with what makes sense to the mind, with reasoning, with logic? Think about it. These 10 men kept 2 million plus Jews from going in to the land of promise, the land that God had promised them. 10 men and their report. Only those two went in and the children. 40 years later. Those two men were the only grown-ups that went in of all of them. The children did, but of the grown-ups, no other grown-ups went in except those two men and Moses. No, he did not either. I'm sorry.
Never mind.
He didn't either. Whoops. So 10 men were able to influence 2 million Jews. 10 men were able to suck the life out of them. You know, they're excited. We're going to the promised land. We're going to the promised land. I think about that crazy Winnie the Pooh one that was the land of milk and honey. The land of milk and honey. My children saw it. Maybe y'all did, but my children did. Yours did too. Isn't it amazing how people gravitate to what's negative? They gravitate to the bad news. It's almost like the bad news is more believable. Doesn't it seem like that a lot of times? The bad news is more, it's more logical, it's more reasonable, and it's contagious. If we don't watch our own hearts and our own lives, we will choose reasonable, logical, sensible over just obedient faith, and we'll call it wisdom. Do you hear me? We'll call it wisdom. Well, I just don't think it's wisdom to go into that land with those giants. It can't be wisdom. Fear, logic, reasoning are usually based on facts. They're based on the facts. There really were giants. Really was big cities, you know. It really was. It's based on facts. But facts are subject to change. The fact is, right now, the temperature, it already is 90 degrees. A while ago it was 70 this morning. But this afternoon, the fact is going to be, it'll be about 94 or 5 degrees. I mean, facts change. They do. They change all the time. Facts do. But truth never changes. And logic and reasoning and things like that are based on fact, not based in truth. Truth is eternal. Truth is God's word. Truth is in the Lord and His word. 2 Corinthians 4:18 lets us know that what you see with your eyes, what is seen, is temporal or temporary. It is subject to change. The faith that we have is rooted in the Word. It's rooted in those things that are of eternal value. It's not rooted in facts. Facts are good and they're important for certain things. I mean, they are in our life. It is important. Hey, the fact is it's pouring rain out there. You might want to cover up or wait. The fact is it's 32 degrees out there. You might want to get a coat. I mean, facts are good. But in Goldsboro, that's definitely subject to change, right? We don't put our eternal faith in the facts. And reasoning looks at facts. Our faith is in the Lord. It's in His Word. It's rooted in the Lord who never changes. His Word who never changes. The things that God asks of us to do in His Word are not possible to our human ability. I mean, stop and think about it. They're not possible to human effort alone. Like forgive people who've done you wrong. Like don't be offended and don't hold the offense. Release the right to be offended, even though they really did do something offensive. You got to have God to do this stuff. Humble yourself. Give. Be kind to one another. Love people. Submit yourself one to another. I mean, the things of the Word that God is calling us to do, you can't do that stuff on your own inhuman effort, can you? I can't. My human effort goes somewhere else quickly. The things he calls us to do and the things he calls us to, like his plans, his assignments in our lives, those kinds of things. These are all things that are impossible without him and his help and his empowering. And we get that through our stepping out in obedience. We get that through our stepping out, or that's partly where we get it from. Romans 14 verse 1. Says this, so all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. They complained against Moses and Aaron. They're, oh, we just died in Egypt. We just died in this wilderness. Why would the Lord bring us out here to fall by the sword that our wife and children would become victims? Weren't we better off? Wouldn't we be better off just go back to Egypt? I mean, they're ready to kill the leaders that were thinking they should go in the promised land. They're ready to load up and head back. But it says they cried. And then you saw where they murmured and they whined and they had pity party. And I want to say this to you, and I mean it from my heart. I've been guilty of it too. It's not like I'm just pointing a finger at somebody else. Some people cry because God is leading one way and we are pulling a different way. And the pain of not going with the Lord makes you cry. And we want to get people out of their cry real quick, don't we? When maybe they need to feel the pain of the cry so they'll turn and get on with the Lord. Are you hearing me? You still love me? You know, if you're yoked up together with the Lord, it's across your neck and you're yoked together with him and he's going this way and you're pulling hard as you, I don't want to go there. You're digging heels in the sand and you're pulling as hard as you can that way. It's going to bring pain, isn't it? It's going to bring pain. And here we are with, like with Israel, their land of promise was on the other side of giants. The land of promise, the promise that God had for them was on the other side of great challenge, great egads. It was on the other side of their obedience and their trusting the Lord. Every step of faith, and I'll say this is for us as well. The places that God has purposed for your life, there's usually between you and that, there's usually challenge in between. You don't just get there overnight, do you? There's challenge. There's difficult places. There's places of obedience that are necessary. There are places for you to step out in risk with faith. Amen? Have y'all never had that? My God. Come on. Haven't you? Every step of faith, every step of obedience carries a cost. It carries a challenge. It carries a risk. And there's a giant. And all of those things can cause you to feel afraid. They can cause you to feel intimidated. They can cause you to feel that way. I think about Abraham offering Isaac. He probably went up, started heading out that journey like this. Would you have? Think about Moses. He left his father-in-law where he had a wife and his two kids and a little family, and he's tending his father-in-law's sheep, and life is wonderful. Life is great. And he has this encounter with God, and God says, I'm sending you back to Egypt. I want you to go speak to Pharaoh. I got to leave this comfort and go back there where I'm known as a murderer. Maybe wanted as a murderer. Might have been some posters put out. Who knows? White posts along the way. Think about that. You might have had places of obedience in your life that cost you. It cost you your plans. It cost you tears. It cost you the fear of challenges and giants and scary places. I sure have. I don't know about you. I sure have. I sure have. I remember stepping out to obey the Lord when he began to talk to me about pastoring. I was horrified. And then when my pastor came to me, and he was big boy, and I was scared of him. And I'm not joking. And he called and said he was coming to the house. I want to hear what God's been talking to you about. And I'm like, basically like, I don't want to talk about it. We'll talk about it another time, you know. And I'm not lying to you. My legs were, I was literally shaking, telling him what the Lord had said to me. I was scared. Shane was with me. He can testify to that. I was scared. Look at verse 9 in chapter 14. Only do not rebel against the Lord. There, Joshua and Aaron, I mean not Aaron, Joshua and Caleb are trying to encourage the children of Israel. He said, do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Now they're ready to stone them. The next verse, they're like, they said, stone them. I want you to hear what they were saying for just a minute. They said, if we'll step out to obey, the Lord will empower us. Because he's with us. He is not with them. They have no protection. Stop and think about when they actually went into Jericho and Rahab talked to them. And she said to them, I'm going to turn there real quick. If you want, you can too. It's in Joshua 2. I love what she said. I know the Lord has given you the land. The terror of you has fallen on us, and all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither was there any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. And then she goes on saying, we're begging for mercy for me and my house. Stop and think about that. They had no protection because they didn't serve God. God was with Israel. Israel didn't have a clue, y'all. They had no clue that all those nations were scared of them because of their God, because of what had happened. They had no idea. It really made me think, wonder how many times I've been afraid of something and had no idea of what God had already gone and done before me. You know that song, You Go Before I Go? And take care of the enemy before I ever get there. You've already tended to stuff. They had no clue. They had no idea that God had already taken care of this. You know, Egypt believed and worshipped lots of gods. And when those plagues came in Egypt, when God sent those plagues, God was actually dealing with the different gods of Egypt. He said that his thing was against the gods of Egypt. It was against the gods of Egypt. And he dealt with those things. Then they get to the Red Sea and Egypt thinks, oh, we got them now. Because the Red Sea represented their God. And it says it in the Word. I wrote it down. I always say it wrong. Baal Zephon. And I don't know if it's Zephon or Zephon. Z-E-P-H-O-N. I don't know. When I say it, I always think of Steve Urkel when he became Stefan. I know y'all think I'm crazy. I kind of am. I think of it every time and I get tickled before the Lord. Baal Zephon. I get tickled every time. I'm going to say it all afternoon. The amazing thing about this is that it was their main God. And they knew they had Israel. Because he was the big God. And what happened? God parted that sea. Water on both sides. They crossed over on dry land. Those who came in after them, he let the water go back down over them and they were drowned. So much for Baal Zephon, right? So much. And that is the word that spread throughout all the nations. And they're all sending texts, big letters, OMG, OMG. And Israel had no clue. Israel had no clue. Cookie and I were talking about this the other day. They got news of that and they had no newspaper, no internet, no nothing to get this information. And yet the word spread to the other nations. And they were horrified of Israel because of their God, because of their God. I love the next part there that they say, this part in here. He says, they are our bread. And I've talked about that before. The challenges, the difficulties, the giants, those hard places to obey, they become your sustenance when you will step out and obey. They actually feed you. They actually become your strength. Think about David with the lion and the bear. He killed the lion, he killed the bear, and he said, I am well able to take that giant. Because I've already seen what God will do. He was empowered through the victories he'd already had with the Lord. He was empowered by this. Dealing with this stuff and stepping out by faith, dealing with the challenge and stepping out by faith, I don't care if it's scary or if it doesn't seem reasonable. If God says that you step out by faith, it actually feeds you. It strengthens you. Like I said about Abraham going up that mountain, those steps of obedience, every step of obedience fed him and nourished him all the more and strengthened him all the more to go forward in full obedience. Now, sometimes we want the bread first. I need strength to obey God. And he's saying, listen, your strength is in your obedience. Your strength is in the obedience. It's bread for you. It's in the moving forward. When you protect yourself from challenges, when you protect yourself from conflict, I've done it. I have. I mean, I'm not proud of it, but I have. When you're hesitant to move forward because of fear, been guilty of that. When you're hesitant to obey, when you try to talk yourself out of obedience, you actually keep yourself from the promise, from the purpose, from the assignment, and from the strength you need to do it anyway, from the sustenance that you need, the nourishment for it. You may go back later and actually try to kind of obey it and do it, but there's not the nourishment that you would have had. Facing that stuff in obedience is what gives the nourishment. When you don't want to obey, when you hesitate, when you delay, you won't obey, you put your heels in the sand, it's illogical, it's irrational, it's scary, it looks too costly, you miss out on the power. You miss out on it. But when you push through in obedience, it feeds you and gives you what you need. Amen? We try to pump ourselves up for what God has planned. But it's the simple obedience of each step along the way. You know, we want to pump ourselves up for what God's big plans are. He gave us some plans for right now. And I appreciate people coming in behind me to I stepped out to obey, and I had people who came in and grabbed the vision and are running with it to help do it. And I believe there's more going on behind the scenes in it than we realize. I believe that with all my heart. I believe the Lord spoke to me about that. It's just those places of each place of obedience. Just obey right there. He doesn't start out with the big massive thing usually. He starts out with steps of obedience. And each step, as you step out in obedience, strengthens you for the next place and the next and the next. Questions. Have I said no when I should have said yes? Have I delayed when I should have moved quickly? And I'll tell you, I ask myself about that all week long. I have. Are there places that I have delayed and I don't have the strength for where you want me to go? Or I don't have as much strength as you would have wanted me to have. Are y'all with me? I'm just being honest with you. I called Cookie about tore out of the frame, crying. I'm like, it bothered me to think where God is wanting to take us. Am I ready? Are we ready? Have we obeyed? Do we have that nourishment? Have we eaten the bread of giants? You see what I mean? That prepares us and makes us ready to move forward in the things that God has purposed for our lives. Made me wonder, am I prepared? Have areas of hesitancy, have I had those, or logic or reasoning or whatever, that have persuaded me or tempted me to say no or to hesitate? And I thank God, at the end of the whole question, I thank God for forgiveness and mercy. If I have, I can say, forgive me, Lord, right? Have mercy on me, God. We can. When we've missed it, we can go back and ask for forgiveness. Thank God. Thank God. What I don't want to happen is that I'm right up on that thing right now and I'm like, help! Are you with me? Are y'all following me? Do y'all follow me? Am I okay? Sometimes he can't. He tries. Like, girl, I don't know where you're going. He does try. So I want to let's just stand and let's just pray. And you let him check your own heart. You look at your own life. I've been looking at my life and I've been looking at us as a church body. And I want to know that we're ready for the things ahead. He's had a whole lot to say, y'all. He has through the years. And I want to know that I'm ready for those things. So, Lord, we ask you to forgive us for places of hesitation, for places of delayed obedience, for places where we've been afraid. Maybe we dug our heels down in the sand because it looked too scary. It looked too costly, or maybe it just didn't make sense to us. But I ask you to forgive us for missing out on any places where in our obedience we would have drawn strength and empowerment and great grace to move forward and do the things you've called us to do and do them powerfully. I ask you to forgive us, Lord. And I ask you for great mercy. I ask you for mercy. And to give us help and strength to step out in simple obedience. Holy Spirit, you're always there to help us to just take that first step of obedience And then as we do, you minister greater and greater and greater empowering to continue forward. Not only do we ask you to forgive us, but we ask you to have mercy on us and give us these opportunities so that we are readied not only by the power of your Spirit, by the power of your Word, but we have been nourished and strengthened inwardly with courage, bravery, and great resolve because we have been obedient to you, even in the little things. Even in the little things. In fact, we realize, Lord, those little things are just as important as the big things, because without the little things, there probably won't be the big things. So, Lord, I thank you. You are a forgiving God, a forgiving Father, and you are a merciful Father. And we ask you to ready us for these next seasons that we are entering into. Ready us for harvest. Ready us to minister to people like Trey was talking about this morning. Ready us with oil and with the empowering of your Spirit, with the testimonies of bears and lions and so forth, that we're ready to do what is ahead of us. In Jesus' name, we give you praise. We give you thanks. Lord, we ask you to continue to minister healing and help.